What time? Well, here's a good one. Turn back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. And we're going to do another swing all the way to the right. Deuteronomy 8:10. I had never seen this one before. And this one is great. Deuteronomy 8:10. The Lord says he invites us to pray after our meals. How do you like that? The Lord invites us to also pray after our meals. That was a new one for me. So I think that's great. Look what it says in verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then bless the Lord your God. Then thank him. You thank him before giving it to you. Thank him after that you got it. Wasn't that great? That's a great one. The Lord invites us to pray after our meals. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, prayed in the evening. Levites, 1 Chronicles 23, prayed every morning at the temple. Psalm 4, David prayed and talked to the Lord at bedtime. He had a prayer time. We should cry like the psalmist all day long. It says in Psalm 86:3, I cry out to you all day long. Here's one, Jeremiah, as we're getting back to the New Testament. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. You're already there, all around it. Jeremiah 3 and verse 4. This one is important for our young people. This is a special call of God to young people. So if you feel young, think of this. It says in Jeremiah 3, 4, Jeremiah records the Lord wants us to call on him as youth. It says this, will you not from this time cry to me? And here's the suggested prayer. My Father, you are the guide of my youth. You know, young people have so many decisions to make. I recently was speaking to, very recently, to a group of college age and some graduates of college. And I was preaching. They invited me to speak on purity, and I did. I think I surprised them. And man, as soon as I got done, one of them came right up to me and said to me, I'd like you to pray for me. He said, and he went into this, and after about 2 or 3 minutes listening to his prayer request, I looked at him, I said, are you living with the girl you asked me to pray for? He said, oh, yes, yes, yes. He says, we're buying a house together to see if it's going to work out, and then we're going to get married. I said, I'm going to pray for your repentance first. That was the last thing he thought of. I mean, he came up for prayer. And I said, you must repent. How can I pray for you to get clothes on the house when you're closing in on sin on a regular basis? See, young people, look at chapter 3, verse 4. My Father, you're the guide of my youth. God has guided the youth. You want to please God in your youth, obey him and ask for his input. He says, please ask me to guide you. You're making so many decisions as a young person. What you don't realize is all of those decisions you make as a young person are going to grow and affect the rest of your life. I was just visiting my dad last month in Michigan. I looked at the trees I planted in his yard 40 years ago. 4-0, I planted them. I mean, there's a maple tree. You could build a fort in that thing. It's so big. There are pine trees as high as the ceiling, spruces that are just massive. And, you know, I remember my parents saying, don't plant those so close together. Man, those things are jammed. I had no idea 40 years they'd be so big. Pray to the Lord in your youth, because what you're doing right now is going to get big if you don't watch it. Make sure you plant good things to get big. Lots of other prayers. Not only does Jeremiah say we should pray in our youth, Daniel was in the habit of praying 3 times a day from his youth. Jesus models praying. In fact, let's look at Matthew 14 and verse 19. Some of you got a little scared about praying after the meal. Well, it's okay to pray before the meal. Look at chapter 14. This is what Jesus models. And if you wonder why we pray before meals, here's why. In Matthew 14, 19, Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass. This is a feeding of the 5,000. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And holding them in his hand, he took them. And it says, look at this. He did it again. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. He gave thanks to God for the food before he ate it. So we pray before meals. It says in Deuteronomy 8:10, we pray after meals. We pray at bedtime. We pray as young people. So many times. Jesus spoke of prayers day and night in Luke 18. He says, my own elect cry out day and night to me. The New Testament saints prayed at the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. A lot of big stuff happened at 3 p.m. That was the ninth hour special time, the evening sacrifice at the temple. They prayed then. I already told you in Acts 16, verse 25, Paul prayed at midnight. But here's the last verse I want you to turn to with this when to pray. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Now, that's way, way over in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at this. This is Paul's conclusion. He says, yes, we can pray in the morning, we can pray in the evening, we can pray after meals and at bedtime and before meals and when we're young and three times a day and all that. But here's Paul's conclusion. He knew all that because he had the same Bible we did. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The conclusion Paul makes is just to pray. When? All the time, right? Pray, it says in verse 17, without ceasing. Why? It unleashes the power of God. It unleashes the precisely guided hand of God into the lives of those whom we love. Well, because of this, we can pray in any circumstance we find ourselves. That's the last thing in this little study. We can pray in any position. We can pray in any place. We can pray at any time. But finally, we can pray no matter what circumstance we're in. Moses in Deuteronomy 9 prayed after he fasted for a long period. Joshua and the elders in Joshua 7 prayed after they put dust on their heads because they were mourning. David prayed even though he was groaning. He was weary with groaning, it says in Psalm 6. And he says, all night long I make my bed to swim, drenching it with tears. So he was in a very sad time in his life. And he didn't allow sadness or depression or discouragement to keep him from prayer. It drove him to prayer. He wanted to pray because of those things. So if you're in the condition of sadness, pray. God was listening to the prayers of his people as they made sacrifices. In Psalm 20, this morning, when the offering bag and the offering basket, the children's offering and the regular offering were going around, what did God hear from you as it went by? Were you thinking more about which kids were taking the offering and what they were doing, what they were wearing, or you know, what row they skipped? Or were you actually making the offering time a time of spiritual worship? And when you put that gift in, it says in Psalm 20, I mean, listen to this. This is amazing. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Verse 3, may he remember all your offerings and accept your sacrifice. See, what we're thinking as we offer to him is our prayer that he gets when we're giving. And that's something that we should be prayerful even as we give. That's why I always love to bring something for the offering so I can be praying as I stick it in and offer it to the Lord. Many other conditions. David prayed while he was wearing sackcloth, afflicting his soul. He poured out his heart. We got to turn back to Ezekiel. I'm sorry. I know you don't like Ezekiel. It's so hard to find. But look at Ezekiel 9. This one is one you can do driving around town or wherever you travel. Because Ezekiel 9 says that God especially hears the prayers of those who are in the condition of sighing. What do I mean by that? Look at Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. And with the downward spiral of our culture, not just American culture, global culture, spiraling, because evil is becoming more permeating our society. And I don't want to keep getting off on prophecy, but look at chapter 9, verse 4. This is the death knell of Jerusalem and Israel. This is the ending, and Ezekiel is looking at it through the eyes of God. And it says, the Lord said to him, this is to this man clothed with linen in verse 3, this angel that's doing a spiritual ministry. He said, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, look at this, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done. God sees and hears our heart's grief for sin. He hears our prayers when we're sighing. I know about you, but I sigh over the sin I see all around me, and my heart goes out to those who are trapped and slaves to sin. And it should be a time when we pray and sigh and pray for those to be delivered from the bondage to the evil one to which they're in. And that's a prayer for their salvation. Well, many other prayers, but the posture of prayer, the place of prayer, the time, the circumstances, that's not the issue. The issue is prayer. And prayer is to be a total way of life. We're to have an open communication with God, which goes on all the time. And prayer, if it's a way of life, will unleash the most powerful weapon we have in spiritual warfare.